Well, if you're here this morning, you saw how truth and love are inseparable. Maybe you've heard people say that doctrine divides, that somehow teaching the truth will divide the church. It's actually the opposite. False teaching divides. It's true teaching that unites, truth and love uniting us with God, uniting us together as a church. Some people will say that we need to just love each other for the sake of unity, that it's all about love, but not knowing that it's the truth that is spoken in love that will bring unity and actually also maintain unity. I want to read to you a quote from John Stott, if you've heard of him. He was a great evangelical churchman in the 20th century and describes how to speak the truth in love. It's not easy. But here he writes, "Our love is not so blind as to ignore the views and conducts of others. Truth should make our love discriminating. On the other hand, we must never champion the truth in a harsh and bitter spirit. Christian fellowship should be marked equally by love and truth. We are to avoid the dangerous tendency to extremism, pursuing either one at the expense of the other. Our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth. Our truth grows hard if it is not softened by love. We need to live according to Scripture, which commands us to both love each other in the truth and hold to the truth in love." Walking, as we saw this morning, walking in the unity of truth and in love is going to require something of us. And that is, as we're going to see here in the remaining verses of this letter, it requires that we abide in the teaching. Abide in the teaching about Christ. So walking and abiding in the teaching means remaining within the boundaries of truth and love, those contours of truth and love. John's exhortation here to this chosen lady and her children is that they be wary of those who are deliberately teaching something apart from the teaching of Christ. They're called deceivers, as he says in verse 7. And abiding in teaching means this, two things. Means watch out for the deceiver, and it also means do not welcome the deceiver. So very simply, it's watch, yes, welcome, no. The key verse in this letter about the deceiver is in verse 9. If you look at it there, it says, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ." The word going on ahead is talking about running ahead, wandering away, and going beyond the bounds of the true teaching of Christ. Those are the ones who are not remaining, not abiding in the teaching of Christ that the Apostle John, the Apostles, were teaching. Those who are abandoning this teaching, there are grave consequences. What does it say in the rest of that verse? Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God, does not have fellowship with God. That's the consequence of not remaining and abiding in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. But whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So sound doctrine is the test of true fellowship with God, communion with God. There are those, John says in verse 7, and he says there are many who are deceivers. They've gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. These are the deceivers. And it says here, such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. The deceiver and the antichrist. Why? Because the spirit that they have is from the devil himself, the Antichrist, the deceiver. And so are the deceivers, there are Antichrist coming from the Antichrist. And there are many heresies that continue to be spread, always have throughout the world, going out, deceivers going out with their heresies. And they're all heresies about God. One God, three persons, and yet they are twisting the truth of God. All we read in 1 John, same kinds of heresies that he was warning the readers of this letter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. It says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also." You see, our doctrine determines whether we have God, whether we are in fellowship with God, with the Father and the Son. You see how important that is. So what do we do? What do we do in discerning whether someone is a deceiver, whether they're bringing sound doctrine, healthy doctrine or not? There are some vital things we need to see here in these verses. First is we watch out for the deceiver. We watch out. How do we actually watch and recognize one who is a deceiver? We check their doctrine. Is their doctrine, for example, saying one of these false doctrines? Confessing, denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's a deception. False teaching, heresy, this particular one here is called Docetism. And the word somewhat sounds like what it means, to seem or to appear that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but he was not actually human in his nature as well as God. There is no real incarnation, they would say. God taking upon himself human flesh. So when the Apostle John is saying that these people are denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he's saying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he has a human nature. Just as he said in verse 3, that the Son of God is God. It says here, "The grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son." That Jesus is both God and man, fully God, fully man. And to deny that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man is actually to deny not only his two distinct natures in that one person, but denying salvation. Because without Jesus Christ being both God and man, as mediator, he cannot mediate for us between God and man in redemption. And I remember a time where I was sitting with camp staff members, and somehow we got into a discussion about Christ being both God and man, and they were as though they were wrestling with this doctrine for the first time and trying to find some kind of statement that will explain it. And I was listening and listening until finally in frustration, I said, "Do you not know that for hundreds of years this has been discussed and formulations have been written down very clearly defining this doctrine of Christ?" And it peaked at this ecumenical council in Chalcedon in 451, explicitly defining the relationship between Jesus' divinity and his humanity and his two natures. And it was correcting two heresies. Eutychus had a heresy that there was this fusion between the two natures of Christ. Nestorius, he believed there were actually two persons, a separation of these two natures. I'm going to quote here from a section of this creed, the Chalcedon Creed, where it says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, being truly God and truly man in two natures," and it uses the qualifiers unconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, not parted or divided into two persons, but one same self Son, only begotten, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Other creeds and confessions have been written throughout the centuries, affirming this, what we would call orthodox statement of the doctrine of Christ. Even our shorter catechism. Question number 21. Who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man and so was and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures, one person forever. That is a true statement of the doctrine of Scripture of Christ. Now, churches who hold to these orthodox creeds and confessions have a defense against heresies regarding God. Three persons, one God. The deceivers will come with their twisting of the truth of the doctrine of God or doctrine of Christ. And if we have these summaries of faith, they will help us to defend the truth and to discern whether their teaching is from God or whether it is from the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Discernment. Watching. This is so important for every Christian to know whether a doctrine is from God. Why is it so important? Verse 1, it says, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win full reward." The apostles taught this doctrine of God, a doctrine of Christ. But if they did not watch out, they might actually lose what the apostles were working for, to see that they would actually achieve this reward, receive the reward of continuing in walking in the truth. And so it is so important for us to understand what we have to lose and what we have to gain in this reward and holding on to the truth if we press on walking with the truth. So doctrine does matter. Doctrine unites. Without this truth that unites, even this truth on the incarnation, Jesus Christ coming in human flesh, you understand there's no salvation for you and me if he did not become man as our mediator, God and man, our Redeemer. So we watch for the deceiver. Secondly, when the deceiver comes, we do not welcome the deceiver. Do not welcome. Many of the false teachers in that day, even today, are itinerant teachers, moving around, teaching, trying to spread their gangrene of false teaching. And perhaps, as John was seeing with this dear lady and her children, that maybe some of these false teachers would come to her and her house, take advantage of her Christian hospitality. I guess in Canada we call it billeting, where sometimes we might receive someone into our homes and welcome them and host them, but to be discerning who you are bringing in to your home. In verse 10 and 11, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him a greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." Hospitality, Christian hospitality, requires some discernment. Are you receiving, welcoming, giving a greeting to a deceiver? We ourselves look forward to receiving Jan Buchanan. We hope to host her in our home. We know her very well. The teachings that she has brought to women in Africa for over 25 years. She is to be held in high regard and honored by us, the church. We know her. We would welcome her. I'm sure all of you would want to have her, to host her. There was a time when we were visiting South Sudan and we were visited by, in the house we were staying at, we were visited by a couple that came to our compound, and they were surprised to see white people here and were asking us, how do you do it? How do you live here? And we actually, they're telling us that we would actually like to establish ourselves here and work here. And so we thought we could help them, provide some guidance, some advice, some wisdom. We exchanged emails. We started correspondence. I sent them some materials to read. Then I saw in their email address, lds.org. I realized that these people were perhaps part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I wrote to them and I said, if you're part of this so-called church, I cannot help you anymore. I cannot support the spreading of any of this false teaching in that area. We have worked for years, and we do not want to lose what we have worked for. This is the kind of discernment that is needed. It's not talking about not being nice or gracious with people, but it's about discerning. Is someone a deceiver? Have you met some of these people yourselves? Have they come to your door, your house? Have you met them on the streets with their publications, their materials? Have you talked with them? You can talk with them. Talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? That he was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. That he is a God. Do you know how their translation of the Bible, New World Translation, has John 1:1? It says, in the beginning was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God with a small g. You'll find it in their Bibles. You ask them. Now, are all of them deceived and fully, some of them have just entered into the Watchtower Society. And so it's your opportunity to teach them the true doctrines of Scripture and the Gospel. You may see people who are walking around wearing suits and they have name tags and it says elder with their name. And underneath it says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are missionaries, so-called, that take 2 years before college to travel around the world and with their teaching. And if you ask them, they will tell you about their testimony of having a feeling burning in the bosom of a sincere belief that their book, the Book of Mormon, is the true revelation of God. And that Joseph Smith had a true revelation of God, the Father and the Son, visibly seen. What do I say to them? I turn to Galatians chapter 1. Out of respect, seeking to, out of love, I speak this truth, that even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. If we said it before, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has so many heresies with their extra revelation. But the greatest of it all is that salvation is not by grace alone. It's after all that you have done that you are saved by grace, it says in their book. It's not in Christ alone. And so they have a new revelation. And if it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, then this warning is let them be accursed if they're going around teaching this doctrine. Now think of all the other people that you might meet. You might meet Muslims. What do they believe about Jesus? He was only a prophet. A holy man, yes, but certainly not the Son of God. That's the unforgivable sin, to say that God has an associate. What about, you might meet someone from the Scientology. I read this up, where Jesus met the standards of living above the influences of his previous life. There's a sense of reincarnation within Scientology. What about Hindus? Certainly reincarnation. Jesus was just a holy man, one of the 330 million incarnations of Brahman. Can you talk with these people? Of course. But they do not have a teaching of Jesus according to Scripture. Buddhist, Jesus was an enlightened man, not God in the flesh. Should we not greet these people, host these people who have a plethora of false understandings of Jesus? Do we love them? Of course. With the truth. Jesus ate dinner with Pharisees and Sadducees who would never accept him as the God-man. But he ate with them. The issue here is about supporting false teachers who are propagating their lies and spreading these lies to divide the church. We have other warnings in Scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Another reference, Titus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. What do we do with people who are intentionally seeking to divide, to spread these lies of false teachings? We do not welcome them. We avoid them. Why? Because if you do support them, you are taking part in their wicked works. That's what it says. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Whoever treats him as a brother and welcomes him as though he is part of you will take part in those wicked works. So that includes lodging, food, providing food, fellowship, greetings, treating people as though they are brothers at the table with you in your home. What you're doing is you're enabling, you're facilitating them to continue to spread the lies and false teaching. The criteria then for extending hospitality is to discern whether these people are intentionally deceiving, bringing their teaching, their doctrines, and seeking to gain influence into the church and into your home. And that includes what you bring into your home, what you watch online, what you listen to, what you expose yourself to. Do you welcome that? Or do you discern what is truth from the lies? So welcome, no. Watch out, yes. Sound doctrine is the true test for true fellowship. Remember what is at stake. Your walk, your fellowship with God. Discerning the truth from the lies. So what are you listening to online? What are you reading? What are you exposing yourself to that may lead you astray? Watch out for the deceiver. Do not welcome the deceiver. You have elders in this church who watch over you, your soul. They are working, teaching, leading, shepherding, so that you may not be deceived and that you may receive that reward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth that is in Jesus Christ, your Son, who took on human nature and who in himself is the only qualified redeemer for our sinful nature. We thank you, Father, that we in this church have elders who are watching over our souls and who are teaching true doctrine of Christ. And Father, we ask that you will protect this flock from any deceiver who come into our individual homes, into this church. And that, Father, we would be a people who watch and do not welcome the deceiver. We would be a people who look on to the Lord Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, our only Redeemer, the one whom we love in truth. And we pray in his name. Amen.